Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles and open them to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. God's precious promises. And we have been looking at these, and if you need one of our guides, raise your hand. We've got some extra guides, lesson guides. Anybody need one? Keep your hand up, and we'll bring you one. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. If there was a verse we just hang our hat on in God's precious promises, it would probably be this verse. Now, here's what we've looked at. We've asked the question, can the Lord do it? The Bible says he is omnipotent. The Lord can keep his promises, ladies and gentlemen. There's no question about that. He has all power. He rules this world. And you can look at those scriptures if we've been through these, but you take these as a reference and look at these. So the question is, can he? And the question is, will he? 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is perfect toward him. And so he can and he will keep his promises. Our scripture in Hebrews says that without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So let's just establish that once again tonight as we think about God's promises, that he is certainly able to do it, he wants to do it, and he will keep his promises. So what are some of the great promises from Scripture? Well, we've looked at heaven, and these are some highlights. So we talked about more of these, but as you can tell, the longer I go, I have to eliminate stuff to get it on one sheet, all right? So I keep whittling down the principles there. But when you look at heaven, we realize our minds cannot comprehend. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And then we talked about God's promises for discouragement, when we're discouraged. We talked about in week 4, God's promises for forgiveness, that he will forgive us. He will pardon us and cleanse us from sin. And then the last time we were together studying this, we studied about God's promises for guidance. He will be our guide. His word will be our guide. You remember this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Remember, it's not a spotlight. It's just a lamp around our feet. And so you respond to the light you're given right there. The next step, you take it according to God's word. Now, tonight, I want you to look at Proverbs, the 8th chapter. We've been in Hebrews. You look over in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, Psalm, Proverbs chapter 8. Tonight we're talking about God's promises for strength. We don't have time to go into this whole story, but Major Gerald Coffey was a Vietnam POW. Who in 1966 ended up, after being shot down, he ended up as a POW. He was there for 7 years. He said that when he went into that initial cell as a POW, there was something written on the wall. And I just want to remind you of this statement. It said, God, and this was etched like with a rock. Have you ever written with a rock on the floor or on a wall? This was etched on the wall in the cell he went into. God equals strength. What are God's promises related to strength? Let me ask you a question. What do you need strength about today? Are you experiencing difficulty? Maybe physically, you have a physical difficulty that you need the strength of the Lord. Maybe you need his strength in interpersonal relationships in your family and those around you. You just need the strength of God to help you in your relationships. Maybe you need strength at work to stand for the Lord, to do right, to be a witness for the Lord. Maybe you need strength in sharing Christ with someone. The Lord has called you to do that, and so you need strength in that way. Maybe you are fearful of the future, and so you need the strength of the Lord to think about the future. We've talked about heaven, but still there's the need for strength. Maybe there is a spiritual task that you are endeavoring to do, and you just feel like you need spiritual strength on the inside. Now, I want to see if Jamie can do this. I'm sorry I didn't tell you about this earlier, Jamie. Can you look up Luke 4:27? But let me ask you this. Can you look it up in the King James Bible? Who has a King James Bible in here? All right, I have a new King James Bible, but I have it. Well, I lost it. I had it on this thing. And I want to, I'll get it back up right here. Yeah, I've got it. Look at Luke 4:27. Maybe you have a spiritual task. Okay, there it is. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, was preaching in London. And he was preaching in like a theater. And there were great noblemen that were there. There were noblemen and their families there. And there was actually the royal box was in that location. And as the story goes, Moody was preaching, and he was preaching from this text. Now, I'd love to hear that sermon from this text. But he was reading this passage in Luke 4:27, and it says, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus." You see that? Now, how many of your versions say Elijah? How many of you are listening to me tonight? I'm just kidding. I got one hand up. Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible in Luke 4:27. Does your version say Elijah? Raise your hand if it does. Okay, most of them do. But in the King James Bible, it says Eliseus. Moody came to this scripture and he's reading it. He's got members of the royal family up in a box. He's got all these noblemen here. Here he is from Chicago over in England, in London, preaching. And he stammered over it. Now, I know from trying to read some of these Old Testament names what that feels like. So if I'm ever reading one and I say, "And so-and-so did this, and so, and Bubba did this," sometimes I call him Bubba, okay? If I just get to one I can't pronounce, all right? But I can relate to sometimes that happens. But as the story goes, Moody was reading this, and he got to the word Eliseus, and he just stammered over it. And so he started over. He went back to the very beginning of verse 27. "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of," and he just didn't come out. He didn't get it right. So he went back a third time, and he stammered over it again, and then he just stopped. And he said out loud, and in prayer, he said, "Lord, would you somehow use this message to make a great impact on this congregation tonight?" And he preached what some said was one of the greatest messages, the most powerful messages that they have ever heard Moody preach. I don't know what it is. He needed strength because he was not measuring up in his own mind. He needed strength at that moment. So I want us tonight to talk about God's promises for strength. All right, in Proverbs 8:14 it says this, and we're gonna move through these verses pretty quickly. It says, "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength." Number one, God has strength to give. First of all, just know if you need strength, God Almighty has strength to give. His word says it. He has strength to give. Now, if you'll look in the book of Ephesians, you'll find something very important. I'm headed somewhere, actually. You can tell by the numbers. I'm going one by one here. But I'm really wanting to get down to number 9. I'm just telling you, okay? And I'm going to get through all of them. But in Ephesians chapter 3, let's start with verse 14. In Ephesians 3, 14 through 17, Paul is writing, and here's what he says. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Look at this. To be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. So here's number two. We should pray for strength. Paul prayed for those Ephesian believers that they would have strength. Now, right there while you're at Ephesians, go over two books to the book of Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 1, verse 10. It says this, that you might walk worthy. This is another prayer Paul is praying for the Colossian believers, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the Lord. So, God's promises for strength. First of all, God has strength to give. Secondly, we should pray for strength. We should pray for strength for others. I'd like us to really pray, and tonight, even before we leave tonight, I'd like us to pray. I was thinking about this when I was looking at these beautiful trees. Robert and Michael and probably some other folks, I know that Kate had a big part in it, and they built these and put them up. Aren't they beautiful? Well, let me say this. All that was done in a labor of love to be a blessing to our community and to our church family. And church family, we ought to pray that God would strengthen us and strengthen our music ministry for the dinner theater. That God would bless it, that God would anoint it, that his strength would be upon it. And I'd like to do that before we leave here tonight. Don't let me get sidetracked and not do that. I want to do that. I was thinking about that when I was looking at those trees earlier. So we should pray for strength, all right? Now go back in the Old Testament, the book of Nehemiah, and go to the verse there, Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Nehemiah 8:10. And the scripture says in Nehemiah 8:10, it says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. I don't know if that was sweet tea or what they had back then, but anyway, drink the sweet and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So, number three, joy in the Lord can give us strength. We reflect upon the joy that God has brought into our life when he saved us. Folks, we should never get over the fact that we have been saved, that we have been converted. The God of the universe has changed our life. He has saved us. And so that joy in the Lord can give us strength. Now, Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Christ gives us strength. Just having the presence and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life gives us strength. Philippians 4:13. We used to sing that chorus, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I was tempted to sing it, but I'm not going to sing it because I don't know if I know all the words. I may get John to sing it back there. But we used to sing that, greater is he that is in us. Greater is he that is in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. When Christ comes in, he gives us strength on the inside, okay? Isaiah 41:10 reinforces that. So number five, his presence gives us strength. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Just the presence of God. And by the way, I don't know if you remember this. You know, as I study sometimes in doing these series and preaching and stuff, I remember some of the big picture items. But I remember when we were when I was preaching through Romans, we were all studying Romans together. There was a quote by a theologian who said this: if the greatest book of the Bible, if you had to pinpoint, it was something like this. This is my paraphrase. If you had to pinpoint the greatest book of the Bible, you would probably drill down and end up in Romans. One of the greatest theological books of the entire Bible. It's a summation of what Christ has done in salvation. But then they said this, if the Bible was a ring, the diamond in the ring, the diamond would be the book of Romans. The sparkle in the diamond would be Romans chapter 8. Now, Romans chapter 8 is all about the presence of God in the Christian's life. That's the scripture that says, that's the part that says that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Not death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons. And it goes back and forth. If you remember that passage, it goes back and forth. All the while to make the case that if you are a believer, guess what you have? You have the presence of God. And can I tell you, one of the great promises in Scripture is that the Lord says, I am your God. And he says, if I am your God, I'm in your life. And he says, my presence will give you strength. That's encouraging to me. That means no matter what I'm involved in, I know that I've got the presence and the strength of the Lord. Isaiah 41:10. All right? In Isaiah, find Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29. Isaiah 40, 29. We're going to be in Isaiah a little bit here. Isaiah 40, verse 29. The blank there in number 6 is the word weak. W-E-A-K. In other words, are you weak? Then he is strong. In 29 it says this, Isaiah 40:29. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. I have several things on my mind right now. Several things on my mind related to my family. Several things on my mind. And you know what I'm talking about. Your mind's moving too. As they say, your wheels are turning too, right? We could probably have a two-hour testimony meeting about all the things that going on in our mind. I've got things in my mind about the church right now, just kind of swirling around in my mind right now. And can I tell you this? I really do not feel adequate to know exactly how to go on that. Can I be honest about it? Can I just tell you that I don't feel adequate? I know I'm the pastor, and Lord, help me lead. But you know what? When I see that verse right there, I take heart. Because it says, are you weak? Then he says, look, I'm going to give power to the weak. Praise God. I can rest assured the Lord is going to lead and the Lord is going to guide. And you can do that too. You can do that as a dad. You can do that as a mom. You can do that as a young person. You can do that in business. You say, I don't know that I feel totally adequate. Well, guess what? Are you weak? Well, guess what? He is strong. That's encouraging. Spurgeon, the great preacher in London, he preached in his mind the very worst message he had ever preached, they said. Or he said. So he just went home so depressed. It's happened to me often, okay? I just want you to know. But anyway, he went home depressed because he had preached this sermon. He thought it was a flop. Dr. Jerry Vines told us one time, he said that, and he was a great preacher. He is a great preacher. He said that he had preached a really bad sermon. And he said, you know, you go to the back of the church and people shake your hands, and they, a lot of times they say, you know, that was a great message, Pastor. That was a great message. He said he preached a really bad one, and the guy came back to the back, shook his hand, and said, Pastor, you just didn't have it today, did you? I mean, you know, the guy was just straight up with him, right? And Dr. Vine said, man, that was like a dagger in my side. But anyway, evidently Spurgeon preached one, And he just felt like it was terrible. He said, I'm determined that I'm going to preach a masterpiece next week. And so, boy, he studied, and he did. I mean, Spurgeon preached to 20,000 people with no amplification. I mean, the guy was a giant of a man and an orator. And people would crowd just to get into this. They printed his sermons verbatim in the London newspaper every week. I mean, this guy was a powerful preacher, but he said, I'm determined I'm going to preach a masterpiece the next week. He preached it, and then he said, now I'm going to follow what the spiritual fruit of those two messages. He said, as best I could determine, 41 people came to know Jesus Christ as a result of the flop. And he said, to the best of my knowledge, my masterpiece yielded zero converts. Listen, you feel weak? He's strong. There's been times I've preached on tithing and had the most decisions I've ever seen. And you think, there's no way, man. And you think, man, I'm preaching on money. And guess what? The Lord has a way of smoothing it out and doing his work. You be encouraged. You say, well, I don't know how strong I am in that area. I don't know how good I'll be in that lesson. Well, if you're weak, take heart. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. I don't know about you. I needed that. That encourages me, all right? All right. In Psalm 27, if you want to hold your spot there in Isaiah, because we're going to come back to Isaiah, in Psalm 27, verse 1, it says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Number 7, God's strength overcomes fear. You're fearful about the future. You're fearful about something else. He promises us that because we have his strength, who should we be afraid of? What should we be afraid of, all right? In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13, it says, put on the full armor of God. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. By the way, this is not a part of our Bible study tonight, but every time I read this, I want to point this out. Look at verse, and I'm reading it off the back wall here. If you've got it on your scripture or you've got it up here. Look where it says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Can I tell y'all this? In studying that scripture, the Bible teaches there are days that are more evil than others. In other words, there are times of great temptation. You think about it. There may be days that God would call, boy, that's one of the evil days in your life. Now we know we live in an evil age and there's temptation. We have a fallen nature. But when we put on the full armor of God, he will help us to stand in the evil day, in the most evil days of our life, the biggest temptation. And then it says, and having done all, to stand. All right? So God's armor gives strength. And he lists out the armor of God. You read farther down, it talks about the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All of these parts of the armor. There have been times in my life, I admit that I don't do this like I probably should, but I know great Christians who every single day, they say, Lord, I'm putting on your armor. I'm putting on the helmet of salvation. I take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So I want to encourage you that God's armor gives you strength. And then the last thing, and we'll be done after this one. Number 9, I want you to go to Isaiah 40, 31, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says in verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Number 9, we have strength when we wait on him. Now, this is what I wanted to get to. The word wait The primitive root of this word means to intertwine. It means to weave. I told you this morning that I was going to talk about a seatbelt. Did you know that the power, that the strength of a seatbelt, there are measures that they want to have for those so that it would protect the person who's buckled up? They say that that fabric can withstand 3 tons, okay? In other words, it can withstand all kinds of force against it. I actually have watched where they've picked up cars by the seat belts. They did all 4 of them first through a sunroof. They put all 4 of them from the back and the 2 in the front, and they hooked it to a crane. They lift the car, okay? Now, they're also testing the little mechanism. That's not just the fabric, but the fabric's what I want to get at tonight. But they would take that thing and pick it up, and then they did it with 2, and then they did it with 1. 1 seat belt, they picked up an entire car because it's so important that strength is there. The reason that seat belt is so strong, it's 300 nylon fibers tightly woven. You look at one. Now, we used to do a thing with young people. We'd take thread and we'd say, now look, how strong is this, you know? And we'd say, put your fingers together like this, and we'd wind it around about 4 times. And we say, now, can you break that? We're talking about the web of sin and how powerful this is. I don't know if I might be mixing my illustrations, but I'm trying to make the point that the power of many fibers woven together and multiplied gets real strong. That teenager would take that thing, he'd bust 4 of them real easy. And then we'd start talking. We'd say, you know, sin comes along and it just gets wound up, and it wounds up in your life. And it gets going, and boy, you do it like that, and then we get the biggest guy in there. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm looking at this man's hands right here. I would be winding for a while, okay, so he couldn't break it. But I'm just telling you, the fingers on this guy. But anyway, my point is, eventually you can do it so much you can't break it. Can I tell you this? You're not going to break a seatbelt. 300 nylon fibers, tightly woven. The word weight means to tightly weave your life in God. They that wait upon the Lord, to mesh, it means to bring together. I wrote other things down in my little notes here. It means to look to God for all that we need. It means the placement of all expectation or hope in the Lord. It is a spiritual bond that allows us to admit our own helplessness and realize that our welfare is completely in the hands of the Lord's power. That's what it means. And the promise is this: if we will wait on Him, we will have the strength of God. You know what that tells me? I don't know all the strength I'm going to need, but I tell you what I can do. I can interweave my lifestyle and my heart and my mind in the truths of God's word. That's why the Bible's so important, that we mesh and we live out what the Bible says. And when we do that, we have a promise. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word renew means to try to kick off the old and put on new strength. It's like you throw out weakness and you put on strength. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I don't know what it is you're facing, but you look at all the promises of God about strength. God has strength to give. We should pray for strength. Joy in the Lord will give us strength. Christ gives us strength. His presence gives us strength. Are we weak? Then guess what? He gives strength to the weak. God's strength overcomes fear. God's armor gives us strength. And then when we, like a seatbelt, take the strand of your life and you start braiding it. You braid it so tightly that you cannot separate your life from the life of God. guess what's going to happen? You're going to find out you're going to renew your strength, and you'll mount up with wings as eagles. Amen, church? Amen. Let's bow for prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.